Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Live commentaries and podcasts. This is Rebel Yell from the WFC Supporters Association. This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
Welcome to episode 7 of the Rebel Yell podcast in season 21-22. A little bit of a somber start because I lost one of our own away boys in the recent weeks. Kev Gold sadly passed away a few weeks ago. Spence and Pete, I'm sure you can join me in saying it was a big loss and it came to a bit of a shock to us, didn't it?
No, absolutely. When Gary dropped it on us all, I think everyone was just stunned for a bit. Yeah, it's a big loss and already missing him around the ground as it is.
Yeah, big loss. Just so noticeable. Just him there as a presence. You know, small in stature, big in personality, I think you could say.
He was literally just like, you know, people say Wealdstone got the Wealdstone Raider, but I think it was one of the guys. If someone had clips of Kev back in the old days, he would have been like a viral sensation like the Wealdstone Raider. And I've seen some of the things. I think it was the game against Folkestone when they were a bit heavy-handed with us, and that was my last memory of him, like literally sitting there shouting at the players going, "Oh, yeah. You should be ashamed of yourself."
That is probably my favourite Kev memory of, yeah. So that was after there'd been the brawl at the end of the game. Danny Barker was standing up. We were standing outside the bar. The players, the coaching staff were walking past. Every single one of them that walked past got the full Kev Gold treatment. But the best thing was they all kept their heads down. They all moved on as quickly as they could, apart from a couple of them.
Yeah, a couple of them mouthed off, didn't they?
Who got about 30 foot away, 40 foot away towards the tea bar before they decided they'll turn around and say something. And I think that little anecdote, I think sums came up perfectly.
Pete, I'm sure you can like say, and you know, if you want to listen back to it, season 21-20, episode 2 of our middle curtail season, the commentary, you've had the pleasure of doing commentary twice for them, and I'm sure everyone can say they have the dulcet tones of me and you, but when Kev used to go on the air, it was a sort of comedy gold. I think when I'm commentating with you, Pete, you're more bothered about if I let a rude word out, but with Kev, you just couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah, but I was on tender hooks all game.
Well, what do you think it was like? Well, I mean, the amount of times I had to get the bleep button out for that. And I get told off if I say the P word or something like that.
Exactly. But the classic that I will never forget is Furuk Me line.
Furuk Me, yeah. That was just brilliant. And
yeah, it's just brilliant the way you dropped it in there.
Yeah, I mean, I had the pleasure of Big Z drove us up to Potter's Bar away in that. It was, I think, one of the last games we played before that middle season was curtailed. And I can't repeat half the stuff he was saying in the back of the car. But I remember pulling in just before we got to Potter's Bar. He wanted to go and get himself a flask of brandy because he had left his at home. So he popped into a corner shop and literally he went in. He got one of those sort of, well, I don't know how big it is, like one of those small sort of hip flask sized bottles. I only have a couple of sips. Got back in the car on the way home. There was only one mouthful left, which he finished on the way home. Just a guy, but you know. Rest in peace, Kev Golds. You'll always be remembered. And I just think the thing that I think is sad for me is that he hasn't, well, he'll be able to watch from above, but he's not going to be there in person to see us, what hopefully is going to happen on Saturday or within the next coming weeks of being promoted to the highest level that Worthing have ever played at. And gents, I think you could probably join me in that and say it's just, I mean, it death's a travesty anyway, but someone with such a loyal supporter to, like, literally, and it's not just him. We've had Steve Hall, we've had Roger Johnson, like, all this year have passed away on the year that Worthing seemed to really, everything's come together and we're going to get that promotion, that they're going to miss it. And I think that's just travesty.
Yeah, they'll always be with us, mind and spirit. You know, Gary's been great this year with the, you know, recently with the Kev flag, and he's taken the Kev flag every game home and away.
Mm. And I just think we have to pause there and just say to Gary, like, you know, you're very hard on yourself, mate, but you know, you're an absolute superstar, an absolute legend for what you did right at the last few moments of Kev's life. Everyone will be forever grateful for what you did and the help you gave. So you're a top man as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was going to add as well that Hinch took the flag with him to Wembley for the second game on Sunday as well. So.
Kev Golds, rest in peace, buddy. And hopefully this coming weekend, we can get this title for you. And I'm sure the players will raise a toast or a brandy or three in the bar after for you, our long lost friend. And all the best and take care in the next life. Guys, it's the final countdown, isn't it? It really is the final countdown. Hopefully you guys that are listening to this on your Spotify or your podcast provider on the way up to Bowers and Pitsy. And I'm kind of hoping for the first time in the Rebel Yell podcast history that this podcast is out of date very quickly, aren't you chaps?
As in, by the time people have listened to this, we can say we're champions rather than champions elect.
But
that's why they've got to listen to it on the way to Bowers.
Yeah, and we've got to make sure we make sure they all do. I mean, it's a long enough journey up there. Chaps, we haven't been on for a couple of months. It's been a busy couple of months, and I'll just say an amazing couple of months. What are your thoughts?
It's been an amazing couple of months. You know, we had the hiccup at Bishop's, but that's exactly what it was. It was a hiccup. You know, the points, the wins, the goals have kept coming, and we're on the brink. And what position to be in that, you know, it's not like we're in a position where it's squeaky bum time. We're down to the last game or two of the season, and are we going to do it? We've got the games in hand, ready to go, and it's coming home.
We can actually sing "It's Coming Home." Do you think that'll be an apt song for Gary to play at the stadium? Because it kind of is coming home, really. No? Pete's screwing his face up.
Judah is out on that one.
Obviously Queen. But guys, since February when we recorded last podcast, we've lost one game. What's that? Yeah. What's that? One game lost. Yeah. I think we're just giving Bishop sort of a little bit of a taste of what it's like to be at the top.
Yeah, but I think if I'm correct, and I think I am,
you are Stato, you probably are.
If you take every game, every team that we've played this season, obviously we've lost six, but when we've then revisited those teams and those teams have come to us, we've beaten all on aggregate, apart from Bishop Stortford, who over the two games beat us 4-3.
But Bishops are, again, you're the Stato here. They're on an unbelievable run.
Oh, they haven't conceded a goal in 10 matches. They're absolutely on an incredible
run. I'm really glad we're not possibly going to be in the playoffs for that reason.
Well, I see. If we got a few draws, and if you remember back to the postponed game on that Saturday, we were 6 points ahead, I think. If we got turned over that day and only been 3 points ahead, then it starts to get twitchy bum, doesn't it?
I would really like Lewis to be the ones that get the playoff promotion. I mean, I think it will be Bishops if we settle it this weekend. Yeah. I think it will be Bishops, but I would love to see Lewis sneak in at the last minute and win the promotion, because I love those Sussex derbies.
Yeah, it's just a great away day, isn't it? Yeah. Absolutely amazing away day.
Yeah. So as we mentioned, Lewis, guys, the turning point when you thought this league, we're actually going to do it. But I wasn't there. I know you guys are there because Pete's famously on video sipping beer while he's on his commentary mic behind the mic. Spencer's in the background of that photo.
I was covered in beer.
It's got to be that Jesse Starkey goal to beat Lewis. That was a turning point. That's the moment that all Rebels thought.
It was a moment.
This is the moment. Jesse Starkey smashed that into the top left-hand corner of the net.
Yeah, it was a great goal. Absolutely brilliant finish. And yeah, I think it was a joint moment, I think, between players and fans.
Yeah.
So I think the players knew how big that was as well.
It was definitely the moment for me.
And I've got to say, Pete, the thing that made me laugh with you, because obviously I wasn't at that game, in the following game, East Thurrock, obviously you've gone behind the goal with the fans. it was a different world. You're literally screaming like I would when he scored that. But then against Thurrock, when Callum Keely scored the early goal, you're like, oh, and Callum Keely's put it in the back of net. Yeah, 1-0 Worthy. Such a different atmosphere. Because you were on your instant replay that night.
Exactly. So I had to sort of be a bit more calmer.
The atmosphere, especially second half behind the goal with Lewis, was something.
It was something else, and I'm so pleased I've done it from there, to be honest. Yeah. I really am. It's probably my highlight of the season, to be honest.
Yeah. But talk about Callum Keely. What a player. We just won Player of the Month for the Supporters Association. He's one that Hinch and the board need to get signed, sealed, delivered for next season, don't you think?
He's made a huge difference. I've mentioned on here before to everyone I talk to. He just makes such a difference. His physicality and his hold-up play, and he's direct. Trying to think of a good way to put it, but you know, he's different than what we've got.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in my eyes, that's the site that's signing of the season. That is absolutely bringing a player of that quality. And Adam knows what he's all about anyway, from having him in the past, and to get him from Dorking.
I think the amazing thing was, though, Pete, is that a lot of people, obviously, and there's people not scared to admit, they were very dubious about Callum Keely, because I think he's left and become a much better player. I mean, I thought he was good the first time round. I always thought he was a good player, but I think he's built as a player, he's got more stronger, and he's an excellent signing.
He's added obviously, going into whatever National League at the time, weren't they, Sutton?
Yeah, he got promoted with Sutton, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but obviously he didn't go up with them, did he? He went to Dorking.
No.
You know, obviously that experience, and it's helped improve his game and his comeback, and he's just been exceptional.
It's quite funny, because I don't know if you guys have watched Bunch of Amateurs by Dorking as well, but he obviously...
I watch every single
week. You know, obviously my friend, he watches it as well. And he said to me, oh, I didn't even realise Callum Keely had gone to Worthing, because he kind of was featured quite a lot, because he was always called Keely. Mark White would always contact, and then all of a sudden he's just disappeared. It would have been good if they'd known, but like I've said, oh, he's gone to Worthing, because he kind of just disappeared off that. But, you know, Dorking's losses are gain.
That's it. It was just difficult for Keely to get in the team up there. Adam's seen an opportunity, so...
Is David still on loan up there? Because I didn't see him on the team sheet this weekend.
He's still on loan up there.
But he's not been playing, has he? I don't think. I'm not starting. I might be wrong. But he was another addition that was disappointing, obviously, since the last podcast we recorded. Like, he was on loan with us and disappeared to Dorking. Could have been a thing that maybe they said, look, we want a player, and, you know, if we can't get one, then maybe they'll have to recall Callum. So I was quite happy that he stayed, because I think if we'd lost him, it would have been a massive... I don't know, like, the boys know him, don't they? The lads know him. They've known him for, like, a long time. I think it would be a massive loss to the squad.
I think it would have been a blow, but that's how we've kept him, and hopefully we'll keep him for next season.
Yeah. Well, talk about keeping for next season. This week, we've obviously announced the signings for until the end of next season, no matter what league we're in, of skipper Aaron Racine, and our top goal scorer in the league still by one, Ollie Pearce. I mean, that's a statement of intent, surely.
Yeah, it's brilliant just to get players tied down, isn't it? But I think that's the thinking, isn't it? Get players tied down, get them committed.
And I just think it's just the love that the players have got for the club. They want to go on the journey with the club. Yeah, it's inevitable. Some of the players we've sung the names of over the past couple of seasons will not be here next season, which it kind of... I don't know if you guys have actually given it much thought. It kind of almost puts a little lump in your throat, doesn't it? Because you think some of these players that you've got used to seeing in the bar that are really generally nice players... that we've kind of grown to know, because it's been the same squad for 3 years, which is obviously very unusual at non-league, are going to be gone next season. It's really sad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's natural progression, though.
Yeah.
You know, going up a level, there will be players who the club decide maybe aren't right for the next level. There's personal player commitments as well. There's a lot more commitment involved in playing in.
Yeah, there's more travelling, et cetera. So it'll be interesting to see who Adam keeps. I think I know the sort of players that I would want to keep in that team.
Pete's trying to get a scouting job now, isn't he? He's the lead commentator, and now he's Adam, if you want me to scout for you, let me know.
I've heard Barcelona have got some good youngsters I can go and look at.
Yeah, when you next go to Oviedo, mate, just try and say...
Anywhere else warm and sunny.
At work, on one of the girls, my crew's dating a Rochdale United player, and he's out of contract this summer. I said, well, there's a very nice club on the south coast, he's quite a good striker. If he wants to, like, you know, go to a club that's progressing rather than going down in the world, like Rochdale, probably relegated into the National League this year, I said, why don't you come and join the sunny south coast of Worthing?
It's not Danny Cashman, is it?
No, it's not. No. Yeah, he can come back. Go on, Adam.
Yeah, wouldn't mind him back. But it just reminds you of last season when we got Harrison Mayall in. He bumps into Aaron Racine, the conversation ensued, and then he's saying, you know, we could do it with a goalie, and he comes down and Yeah, it's been.
That's one we need to sign on for next season, don't we? We need Harrison signed. Yeah.
Yeah, he's non-league Shay Given, as I always call him.
Non-league Shay Given. He's been brilliant between the sticks.
He's been brilliant.
I mean, the amount of clean sheets we've had has just been unreal.
If he was never 6 inches taller, he'd be the championship, I reckon, at least.
On Saturday, he pulled off two or three unbelievable saves in the second half.
He's kept us in games. He's won us points on his own. And, you know, the goalkeepers and the defence never get the credit. It's always the goal scorers that do to get all the glory. But, you know, a big, big thumbs up to our defence all season and Harrison.
Yeah. Well, talk about defence. Obviously, we've had the goal scorers. You said Ollie Pearce has smashed the goals in. I think he's currently on 35. I don't think I'm going to win my bet. I think we'd have to listen back to a previous episode, but I think Pete might be closer than all of us right now, because I thought Ollie's still been ever present up front, but he's slowed down his goal scoring rate. I think it's just to give other people a chance, like Callum, to be fair.
I think that's what it is. Since Callum's come in, then obviously the formation slightly changed. So he's not actually the front man anymore.
He's been playing deeper or wider.
Yeah, exactly.
So him and Callum have been great, haven't they?
Even the forward line have been fantastic. Everything's worked this season, though, hasn't it? Everything Adam's done has worked.
Six goals against Bowers on Saturday.
Easy, mate. Can you imagine if we won the league with a thrashing? It'd be amazing. Anyway, talking about that, obviously the men's league is coming to an end, but the women's season finished this past weekend, sadly, with a 5-0 defeat to the champions. Ashford, Pete, Spence, you were at the game. A disappointing end to the season, I expect, and I'm sure it kind of hurt the girls quite badly.
Yeah, I was there. I'll take this on. So... Some of us can be committed, Pete.
Part-time announcer, right? Part-time announcer.
Blimey.
That's a joke.
you're getting a slap face on. You're getting a Will Smith done on your Saturday, aren't you?
I think the scoreline against Ashford was quite flattering, to be honest.
Really?
I didn't think there was that much a difference in the teams. You know, considering sort of league positions, and you know, it was a sort of some late goals that sort of added to the scoreline, really, that sort of flattered them a bit, I think. But it's been a really good season from the women, first season at that level.
They finished fourth, mate. They finished fourth. And I remember when we sat down the first podcast of the season, we said to, was it Ellen? No, it was Chloe Lelliott. And we spoke to Ella as well, but we spoke to Chloe and spoke to John. And they were saying, like, pushing towards that top end of the table. They're in the top half. You could not have asked for better than that. And they've had some great times this season. And you think with Ashford out of the way, that league
is quite tight behind.
Yeah, that league is literally like, they finished on 34, Ashford on 44, Dartford 41, Fulham 35, Worthing 34. But you've got teams like Millwall finishing below us, and that's crazy. You know, Millwall, like a full-time professional club.
They're established teams, yeah.
Yeah, and we're just 1 point behind Fulham Football Club, which is owned by an American businessman. Crazy. You know, so I think next season the girls should be very proud to push on. Obviously, they don't like to end a season like that. You know, fair play, but just brush that under the rug. Go on to next season. And, you know, I think, you know, with the promotion of the men's team, obviously the facilities and the feel around the place is going to get better. It's just going to help the women's team. Pete, you've got down pretty much most Sundays.
Yeah, they've been really good. They've had like I say, they can be really, really proud of themselves. They've done exceptional. And especially with, you know, the transition from last season with Michelle leaving and John coming in and, you know, a lot of changes in the squad. So, yeah, I think every single one of them are giving themselves a big pat on the back for a tremendous season.
Yeah, absolutely. And going forward, you know, again, it can be built on next year. You know, I'm sure John will be looking at getting one or two new players in. And, you know, the whole setup at Worthing for the level and the crowds, you know, big crowds, great match they set up. You know, it's appealing for players to come in.
We were speaking to Gina. Obviously, she's like Spencer and Gina. You've got Spencer of the men's team, you've got Gina the women's team, and she's really enjoyed it. And she even told me when I've seen her, like, how it grows, like the team, the match day experience has grown throughout the season, more people coming down. So it's only a good thing. I know, thanks to Gina for helping out on the podcast and doing the interview. She's unable to make it tonight for the interviews with John and Amy Critchfield, but you know, I know you can probably speak on her behalf, Spence, but she's really enjoyed this season, hasn't she?
Yeah, no, she really has. And you know, I think, you know, there's a real, you know, there is something really going on the women's side. You know, it's been a big progression this year, and that's only going to going to keep on going.
Mm. So early predictions for next season. Do you think we can get that promotion for the women's team? I think they could be well up there.
Why not?
Yeah. Let's do it.
I think they'll be up there competing.
Well, let's just pause it there, guys, and let's speak to John Donoghue, the manager, for his final interview with us this season. He's been really good and spent a lot of time with us this season. Obviously, they're not in training this week, so we've got him joining us over the airwaves. Welcome back to the Rebel Yell podcast. Been a couple of months, and the season for the women's team is finally complete and over. And what we've just said just before we've introduced you, you know, we couldn't be prouder of fans of the club. And, you know, what a first full season you've had to finish fourth. We interviewed you on that first podcast, the pre-season. Yeah. And you said you'd be happy mid-table, and you've done better than that, mate.
Yeah, no, it's been really pleasing. I think, like I say, the players have really stepped up, tried to take on board really what we've said, and they have. And like I say, it doesn't matter where you've coached before. You know, it's a new set of players who need to get trust in what the coaching staff are asking them to do. And, you know, they've put it into practice, and we've played tremendously well, certainly since early December anyway. We've been consistent and some good performances.
I mean, you can see it from, like, you know, following the girls on social media. Like, you just see there's a real sort of morale now that we kind of seen in the men's team over the last couple of years, but it seems that they're a real team now. And like, after we've spoken a few times over the season of, you know, the merge, you've taken some players from your past and you've obviously merged them with the Worthing girls that were already there, and you know, you couldn't have asked really for a better response, I would say, from you.
No, I think we knew it would be challenging because of the unknown for us, probably as coaching staff, but obviously the players, even the players that stayed from the season before, they didn't know what the league was going to be like. So I think that was the initial obstacle to try and get over. But we've done that. And probably, I'd say, since December, we hadn't lost in the league, even apart from obviously Ashford on the weekend. But so I think that shows that the performances have been better and the players have improved. I think you get the players improving and understanding, then naturally there becomes better results from that.
Yeah, and John, when you had obviously, because the big turnaround in the summer with you bringing players in, the players that were already established at Worthing. And you've sort of said during the season that you was pleased with the way they've gelled.
Yeah.
And obviously by where we finished in the league, you've been proved right that they have gelled.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but I believe they have. You know, it's just you know, they've understood, start to understand each other, understand what the commitment is and what they need to do and what the expectations are. So I think if you get a good set of players with a great mentality, then it's quite simple to bring them together and for them to perform together because they all want the same goal. I think when you have players in the squad that don't want that, then you can get splits and you can get a bit of derision in there, but we never did. So that's really pleasing. The players have been, you know, like I say, been great this season.
Yeah, that's it. It's really noticeable, you know, not just on the pitch, sort of off the pitch, just how close-knit they are and how much of a team they are and everyone gets along.
Yeah.
You know, so is that part of your thinking, you know, sort of when you've brought a couple of new players in throughout the season?
I think,
thinking, do they fit into the group?
I think that's the main thing. Sometimes when you don't know the players as well, that's a challenge. And that's always a challenge. When I've worked at different levels, obviously you can try and draw on people that have worked with players before. So you ask what they're like, you know, other players that have been with them and you trust their opinion. You can't always do a psychological assessment of people. And you know, put it bluntly, some people can bullshit you and pull the wool over your eyes, can't they? But hopefully I know a bit more about it than I used to. So you know that if everyone's fighting and pulling in the right direction, their attitude, their application, their how they conduct themselves is as important because that can be something that destroys the team. So you try your best to do that. I would try and pick a player who would be more, just understands football a bit more and understands what they need to do. It's not about them, it's about the team and to help supporting the team. And, you know, as much as some players are different individually, in terms of how they put themselves forward in the team is as important. You don't always get it right. I haven't always got it right in the past. But I think all of the players that we've worked with this season, they've been great in terms of their understanding of what they need to do.
Okay, so you brought a few players in. A lot of the squad is pretty young. Compared to us, eh?
I don't know what you're talking about, to be honest. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, not you, maybe.
I'm
only 25.
Yeah. I think all of you got a bit ahead of hair than me, it's so
just,
it's fine.
He's just had a hard life.
but we've all the younger players in the team, John. I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
Who do you think has been the most improved during the season? Who sort of took all your instructions on board and really, really, you know, come up to the challenge that you've given?
I suppose who you would consider young, you know, the 25-year-olds are still young, aren't they?
Yeah, but that's
true. I suppose
true.
If you look at the ones who are, I suppose, under 20 and under, you know, we brought, Sophie Humphrey was already at the club. Thought she wasn't going to come back, but she wanted to. And I think she's significantly improved the season. Her confidence used to be early on in the season when I went ref sub, she'd always looked to the bench thinking it was going to be her coming off, and probably surprised her a few times when she hasn't. I think probably the youngest player was Katie Young, 17.
Mm. She only just
turned 18 in February. And she's been asked to play an important role. You know, it's tough to come in at centre back, or right back as we played her sometimes, and even on the left back and play against some good players. So, you know, we've got Ella Newman. She only just turned 21 this season. You've got Becky Simmons, who's 18, turning 19. You've got Amy Critchfield again, 18, turning 19. So
we'll be speaking to her here as well.
They would be the younger ones. And Katie Cooper, more recently, she's 18, just turned 19. So I suppose some of the other players, I would say probably Katie, in terms of how young she was and then tried to get into a team, has probably had the biggest learning curve. The other ones have improved, and it's a credit to them in terms of how they've improved in terms of their mentality and the work rate. But, you know, even a year or two in football is quite a long time. So,
I was going to say,
John, Katie Young, for me, was, having seen her quite a few times this season, she's the one who I think has really progressed. So I totally agree with you, and I'm going to become a scout.
Yeah. Thank you.
You don't do enough, do you, Pete?
Brilliant, you guys. So, John, what's your highlight of the season, really? What is your, like, what's the moment that you remember most?
I suppose there's a few things. One is we did beat the league champions in the cup at their place with basically the same starting lineup as they played in the first game and the most recent game we played them. So that was a highlight. I suppose we got, you know, getting to the quarter final of the League Cup, because we had quite a long, we had some of the challenge, we had the challenging route to it. I think that was another highlight. But I think we had a good long run in the FA Cup. You know, we reached the first round proper, and the team has never done that. And if only this year they'd have put in next year's fees, we'd have probably brought about $8,000 or $10,000 into the club for our cup run. But instead, we only bought a couple. So, you know, there's those things that have stood out for me, that, you know, beginning of the season, if we'd have played some of those games, we would have fallen by the wayside quite quickly. But they come at a time where we were building and improving. And I suppose I steered clear of playing friendlies against tier three sides, because I thought we would be too naive initially, and getting a thumping in pre-season with a newish team would not have been great, I don't think, for the players. And then playing Crawley Wasps in the County Cup semi-final, and we were in the game all the way through it. You know, I can't say we were going to win, We hoped we could, but I think they were better than us, but it didn't look like a game where we were playing, we were a tier five and they were tier three. So I think that was a credit to the players.
Yeah, again. And going back to that game, it was just sort of two defensive mistakes, really, wasn't it, to be honest?
Yeah, gave the ball away. They stuck it in the back of the net. You know, we had opportunities to score, disallowed goal. So, you know, I think we were not necessarily chasing the game, but we're always slightly second in that game. But I think they were surprised how we played. So, and we didn't just sit back in. You know, we pressed them as well. So I think the players probably thought in that game, and it was a recognition of how far they'd come. I think they probably recognise that themselves.
Yeah, brilliant. And obviously, we're just touching, because obviously the last game of the season, it was a disappointing loss to Ashford, obviously the champions. Yeah, I mean, obviously you could go out this season with the heads held high because what a great season you've had, but it must have been a little bit disappointing to end on such a sort of undeserved result.
Well, yeah, you know, I had to split the talk after the game into two. So one of it was based on the season. You know, you're not just going to look at one result and say that was your season. And the last result, we got obviously smashed by Ashford. But what it does do is it should leave the players on a real understanding of exactly where you need to be to try and win a league. You know, you can beat teams around you. You can play quite well against teams above you, but the team that wins the league sticks the ball in the back of the net and gets rid of the teams that are trying to get into the top and try and challenge him for the league. So, you know, look at the players, their players. They played the game quickly. They played it with lots of quick passing, runs off the ball, worked their socks off. And when they had the chances, they stuck them in the back of the net. And if it wasn't for Lauren, they might have scored a couple more. So it gave me and the coaching staff a great understanding of where the players need to be at. But we just spoke about those young players. You know, our next players up are still only like 24, 25, 26. Apart from a couple of senior ones, you know, they're still youngish as well. So it should say to them, if I improve, I can get to that level. And that's their responsibility over the off-season, you know. It can't all be about someone telling you and pointing in the right direction. You need to follow that path and try and improve.
Yeah, no, that's good. I mean, it's going to be an interesting watch for next season. I think, you know, Ashford are now out of the league. We're like kind of, you must be kind of hoping that that's maybe the spot that Worthing could take next season.
I'd like to let us challenge for that. But what you've got to understand still is we've got Fulham in the league, play at their training ground, got full-time staff, access to physio, access to strength and conditioning, match analysis. They're strong. You've got Millwall in the league. You've got Dartford, who are always there or thereabouts. And we've probably got Hastings coming up, I would imagine, who are probably the only team in the league that were actually paying their players. So that's probably, for us, they'll be looking for a similar sort of players than us. So that might be a little bit more of a challenge. So, you know, we need to step up. What we need to do is make people want to come to Worthing. And I'm sure I'll get a few little nudges from players to come along next season.
Brilliant. I think we can all say we look forward to it.
Yeah, you've certainly built the foundations this year for, you know, to encourage players to come next year.
Well, that was the aim. You know, you recognise that, you know, 99.9% of the teams in this league are not going to pay players. So what attracts players? Hopefully the coaching, the facilities, the support network around, and feeling welcome. You know, like yourselves and anyone who's come to the game, they feel connected to the players, and that in turn makes the players connected. You know, if you haven't got that, you'd be really challenged to progress and to improve. So why does a player come to a place? All of those things, first of all. So that's the big challenge for the teams, is to attract those players and say, you know, there's a good platform for you. Even if you're going to go on to a higher level, then that recognition from the other players are going, actually, this is a good path for me. Maybe I don't have to play for reserves or a DS. Maybe I can go and play for a first team somewhere.
Yeah. There we go. But we look forward to next season. Hopefully I'll be able to get down a bit more of my work schedule. Really looking forward to seeing what it brings. John, thank you for being so accommodating for us this season. It's been great to get to know you through the space of season. Well done from all of us. It's been a pleasure to watch. I know obviously Pete, Spencer and Gina have been down a lot more, but I know I've always had great comments from them. And I look forward to next season. Hopefully we can, you know, take the onward motion of the club that is going in at the moment with the men's team. You know, it's been great to see the girls down at the men's team's quite a lot of games and, you know, take it with the women's team next season and hopefully be pushing it for the top of the league. But I hope you enjoy your time off over the summer. When will you be back in? When
does it start? We're probably looking at the 3rd of July.
Okay, so we'll be banging on your door then and be hassling you for a chat then. So, but John, it's been a pleasure. Look, enjoy your summer and we'll see you next season.
And you. Thank you, John.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Really great to have John Donoghue back. And gents, as we said, had a great first season for him in charge of the women's team. Some real accomplishments there. And I look forward to seeing what the girls can do next season because I think they could really, really go quite high in that league.
Let's hope so.
Anyway, talk about riding high. The youth, as per usual, the youth have just been smashing it again. We had a gentleman make his Rebel Yell debut recently, Pete. Do you want to introduce who that person was?
The one and only, the man who can never be replaced, Stuart Evans.
Hello, Stuart.
Good evening, gents. How are we?
Yeah, hey. Well, we can't actually see him because he's in the dark of Woodside.
we can't afford the floodlights.
Yeah, there we go. Stu, a couple of months we haven't spoken to you. We've obviously seen you, but a couple of months we haven't spoken to you on the podcast. We haven't recorded. So how has it been the last couple of months in the youth setup for you?
Yeah, phenomenal, mate, really. Yeah, really, really good. Coming towards the end of it now. I think the 16s finished a couple of weeks ago, but they're still in for training. And then the 15s have got a couple of games and so have the 14s. So, yeah, no, the boys have done really well. Should be very proud of themselves. They've come a long way since the start of the season. And, yeah, we've got some youth trials at the end of this month, going into the first week of May, I believe. So be interesting to see what happens. Obviously, some unfortunately will be let go as part of the processes. And it's horrible, real horrible situation for us to be in. But it's part of football. And yeah, no, it's been phenomenal. I've loved every second of it. And the boys have done really well.
I guess that's probably what's going to make it a lot harder for you as like one of the coaches in the youth setup, that you've got to know these lads over the past year, possibly even longer because of COVID. And it must be quite emotional as a coach that you're going to have to say you've not made the cut. And what's it like? Is this the first time you're going to really have experienced it properly as being part of the youth setup? Or have you sort of been within it before? Third time.
Yes, third time. Yeah.
Does it get worse every year?
Yeah, it does, mate, to be fair. It does. It's not nice. I mean, some of these boys have been with us since development centre, so under nines at that point. All the way through to under 16. So it's horrible. It is horrible. But part of football, some of them will actually go on to bigger and better things themselves. They'll go away and find a club and settle and get more minutes for them and actually go on to play a decent standard of football. Some will progress naturally into 18s, but I hate it, mate. I really do hate it. They're all good lads, all good. They want to learn. They want to progress. They want to become footballers as every kid does. So, it's horrible, mate, but part of the process. We can't take everybody with us, unfortunately. So.
Yeah. I guess they're now probably, are they looking at, obviously, because the inevitable is hopefully happening this coming weekend away at Bowers and Pitsea for the men's team. Is there sort of youth setup having to change to look at players that will be good enough to progress into the national leagues? Or is it always the same sort of, you always have that standard, that bar that you look at, or do you raise it now that we're looking at that promotion?
A bit of everything, mate, really. Yeah, I mean, I think we do need to have that at the back of my mind that when we recruit that you need to see, there needs to be a player there that could potentially get into our National League South side, hopefully. On the flip side of that, if they are good enough, 90% of the time they're snapped up by academies anyway. And obviously we're not an academy, so we're striving to be in the future years, but we're not an academy. So if they're good enough, they'll be snapped up by one of them. I quite like the idea of developing kids that aren't maybe that good, that level maybe aren't quite the finished article and developing them, seeing them blossom as well. So, it's a bit of everything, mate, really. It's a bit of everything. But you're right. You do need to have that at the back of your mind that we are now pushing to be a National League side. We do need to take that into account.
Yeah, fantastic. And hopefully that is going to come true. I know Pete and Spence, we're kind of trying to get this out for Friday and hoping it's going to be a very out-of-date podcast very quickly.
No, I'm got full confidence to, that they're doing.
Oh, the yeah. What's it like right now? What is it like? I mean, we know we've seen it, but it must be almost so close you can taste it because it is that close, and it almost must feel a bit unreal.
Yeah, I don't think we'll quite, until we get handed the trophy or see our name in the National League South table for next season, I don't think we'll quite hit home really, because it's been 3 years of stress and anguish and everything on those lines, frustration and yeah, obviously having the null and void seasons, I've made it gutting as well. So yeah, I'm trying not to think about it too much, to be quite honest with you. But yeah, I'm very excited. The boys were in great spirits tonight, right? The training session was buzzing. Everybody was, yeah, high tempo, good energy. Everybody trained, except from, I think, Barks and Joel. So everybody trained. So yeah, it was good, man. It was good. We'll be all right. We'll be fine.
It's the longest wait for a promotion ever, I think.
Yeah, it has to be. It'll make it even better. I think for me personally, and this is just my opinion, I think actually things happen for a reason. And I think we're better set up now as a club. Off the pitch, Barry's working wonders. Nathan's phenomenal in terms of what he does behind the scenes to link the football and the board. And I think we're better set up as a club now to be able to handle a good fight in the National League South next season than maybe we were a year or two ago. So I'm fully confident we'll go in there, compete, and push for promotion.
That's a good point, Stu. You know, because, yeah, where things have been, you know, held up, delayed, it has given everyone the chance to sit and think about it a bit more, hasn't it, and properly plan. You know, it's not like,
oh mate,
not like this has been sprung on us. This is, you know, we've sat down as a club.
It's, yeah, right.
This is our pathway. This is what we need to do.
Totally, mate. Yeah, 100% right. Everybody behind the scenes is working their socks off to try to get things in place for the start of next season. In terms of infrastructure, obviously costs as well, and staff set up, and yeah, and I don't think we quite had the personnel behind the scenes that had that kind of business mind previously. I'm a big fan of Barry Hunter anyway. I'm a big believer in a fan of people that do something and then say they've done it afterwards, rather than say they're going to do something and then don't do it. And he's one of those. And I think we've got a good man leading us. And I think we'll be fine, boys. I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
I think you might have to get a box of tissues for Pete, because I can guarantee if I'm standing next to him on Saturday on the terrace, he'll probably be crying. And they'll probably send
I didn't even cry at my mum's funeral, and I think I might cry this Saturday, to be quite honest with you. I don't get emotional. I'm not an emotional person. I kind of keep it kind of inside to a point, and maybe a bit of anger comes out, but I think there's going to be a lot of emotion this Saturday.
If it does happen, do you think you might break your rule of no drinking? Do you think you might have to have a glass of celebratory bubbly?
Potentially, but we've got a 15s game on Sunday morning.
Oh, who cares, mate? Just going hungover. It's worth it, isn't it? 15s are probably they'd let you off for that.
Yeah, no, I've got to set the standards high, though, mate. You can't turn up smelling the booze. So I don't know, mate.
We're still a non-league club. You like?
Yeah, it's still
mate, got those Sunday league. No, of course, mate. Yeah, of course. But
no, I think it's, yeah, I'm just looking forward to enjoying the moment, really, mate, to be quite honest with you. And I'm obviously being very presumptuous that we're going to have that moment, but I'm sure we will.
We've got to get 3 points in 4 games, mate. It's like, yeah, exactly. I don't even think we can throw it away now.
No, but yeah, very true. But yeah, like, it's just going to be one of these moments, mate. You just got to sit back and take it all in and enjoy it, because they don't come around often in football. And when you do, you have to embrace it and enjoy it. And look, there's something for you to look back on in years to come. Well, I'm still in football in 10, 15 years, 20 years. I hope I am. But if I'm not, at least I've experienced that. And that part of me thinks that I won't drink, because then I'll remember it.
Yeah,
well.
Remember yeah, it and remember soak it, yeah, it in. Yeah, yeah.
I guess if you don't drink regularly, one drink's going to go straight to your head. You'll be absolutely battered. Yeah.
I'll be absolutely battered.
Before we let you go, Stu, just one question. As now an official co-commentator of RebelYell.live, did Pete tell you off as much as he tells me off? Or is
no.
that just a me? Oh, right, there you go. I'm being bullied every week then. That's it.
He got told off by a listener, didn't you?
Yeah, I swore. I said to myself, I wouldn't swear.
Rewind a second. You swore live on air. I get told off for shouting and getting too passionate. I never swear. I think I said the B word once. I think I said the B word once or the P word. But I've had Gary swore. You had Kev swore, bless him, rest in peace. And now I've had Stu swear. Peter, I seem to be the ones that angels ring around my head.
I think Kev did a bit more than swear as well, didn't he?
Yeah. The bleep thing was well out in force.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed it. I think part of the reason why I wanted to do that is because I wanted to kind of publicise, and I'm a big fan of the youth setup of this club. I really want to push it further. Yeah. I think it's got phenomenal. That the way Hinch was out training the under-14s earlier and then went straight into a session with the first team. And I don't think there's any club out there that does that. I'm a big fan of it, a great believer in it. I just wanted to push the final out there to as many people as we can, just to highlight how great the youth system is here, and just to shout about it, really, to be honest. And it was a good experience, mate. I had to keep on telling Pete who the boys were.
He gets that wrong all the time. Anyone, the thing he was calling, I think it was against Horsham, he was calling some player some other exotic name that wasn't even on the team sheet. So we'll let him off.
Oh my god! Fair enough. It was an
opposition player, James. and Stu, yeah, thank you for your help, because obviously I don't know all the kiddies in the underage group, so it is difficult to just get a team sheet and do it.
Part of our process is to hopefully get them to a point where they're going to be seen in the first team in a few years. I'm hoping that will be the case. So.
Well, Stu, we have plenty more opportunity to speak to you for the end of season, because it's not over. We've got another one, and thanks for joining us again. There'll be plenty more opportunities, I'm sure, next season with Pete to do some youth commentary. I'm sure you'll love to jump in at that and put your hat in the ring. You know, if Dean Cox can do it, I'm sure anyone can, to be fair.
Definitely. And Pete, I'll share an emotional hug with you on Saturday.
I look forward to it, mate.
I'll put it live stream it on the Rebel Yell Instagram or something like that. But Stu, look forward to seeing you on Saturday, and enjoy your night, mate.
And you
cheers,
guys, Stu. Take care yourselves.
Cheers, Stu.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Always good to speak to Stuart Evans. He's a little bit. I mean, Pete likes the title Mr. Worthing, but I think Stu probably is just in front of you, Pete.
No, he's definitely by a mile.
There you go. There you go. If you've got Pete's endorsement as Mr. Worthing.
He never leaves Woodside, does he?
No.
It's like him and Gareth for like Mr. and Mrs. Worthing, because Gareth's got the long hair.
I think Stuart lives in that porter cabin where I do the interviews.
I wouldn't be surprised if he slept in there a few nights. We'll have to try and get out of him one time. But as per usual, Stu, thank you very much for your time.
There is a funny smell in that porter cabin.
Oh, here we go. Pete starting rumours again.
we'll get
taken off the air, mate, if we carry that.
We've got how far into this podcast, and Peter started to drag it down. We nearly made it through.
And always, I'm the one that normally gets the blame for it.
I'm getting tired, man.
It's getting tired. It's been a busy couple of days for you, mate. Stu, thank you very much. I think a podcast wouldn't be a podcast without speaking to the gaffer, Adam Hinchwood, who always has time for us. So it's going to be hard to not get carried away, because Adam's very modest at his interviews, and we know that he probably wants to let out and say, yeah, we're going to smash it, but you know he won't. So we'll join Adam now, and we'll speak to him about this past couple of months and see what his thoughts are wrapping up the end of the season, because obviously next month we can get him where he's going to hopefully be a championship manager.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Great.
Don't lean on the table.
Good table, isn't it?
We're joined by Adam Hinchwood. We're sitting with a nice cold beer in the bar here at Woodside. So thanks for that, Gaffer. We appreciate that. I don't really know where to start, because it's been 2 months. 2 months ago, it was looking good. But right now, we're recording on the Wednesday before the Bowers game. It's looking bloody good right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been a good couple of months, to be honest. Obviously, one blip in the Bishop's Stortford performance, but I think since then the lads have responded well. That's a tricky month, wasn't it? Was it March where we had all the away games and that? So it was a real tricky month. Lots of journeys and great following from the supporters to come and back us and all those trips.
Are you just treating every day like normally right now? Because obviously we've got that goal, like we win Saturday against Bowers, we know we're promoted as champions, no matter the results elsewhere. It's not hard to motivate the players. What I'm trying to say, it must be hard to try not to focus on that too much, because you don't want their attention to drop and then maybe miss the opportunity of that game. Is it really hard to like get them to just focus on the game rather than the title right now?
I think, yeah, like for my own, I can only speak on my own point of view, really. But from just how I feel about it, it doesn't actually feel any different to me. I'm not really getting too excited. I'm not losing sleep and stuff like that. And everything just seems like 3 points up for grabs on Saturday. And that's hopefully that's relating to the players. Although I did feel there was a bit of tension within the ground, supporters and everyone, players and on Saturday. Because I think the games that we have lost at home, similar to Saturday's game, where we've created lots of chances, not took them and then got punished for them. So I don't know if there's a bit of that amongst the supporters as well, but definitely think it transpired onto the pitch a little bit.
Yeah, that Haringey game's getting quite frustrating. It was like the goal was there, but it just weren't coming. But it was strange for a game to sort of like be so on top, but then kind of have nothing to show for it.
Yeah. No, the game plan was to start really, really sharp. And I thought we'd done that. I thought we created lots of chances in the first 15, 20 minutes. Knew that they had played in midweek and hadn't made too many changes to their side. So really felt that we could capitalise on that and take advantage early on in the game. And yeah, it just wasn't to be. We hit the bar a couple of times. You know, it could have been the perfect start with Jesper coming on his left foot. But good save, push it onto the bar. And then, yeah, just not taking our chances, which we've done a couple of times at home this season. For a team that scored 91 goals, you know, I still think, you know, we've missed quite a few chances as well.
So you mentioned the 91 goals. Have you given the players a target, the 100?
No, nothing like along those sort of lines, really. Honestly, I'm so boring, just literally focusing on the next game. And that's all we can focus on is Saturday and our performance. That's all we try to do each week, and that'd be the key focus.
Well, I put it's a kind of light-hearted bet in the last episode that I want Ollie to score 45, I think it was. So can you tell him to a couple of hat-tricks in the next couple of games? That'll be sorted, yeah?
No, that's it. Yeah, I think, you know, that's obviously getting to him as well. It's a close battle at the top there. I think when he hasn't scored, when he has scored, the first thing he looks at is the results. Second thing is if Mo fell score, yeah. I think.
It will be a travesty, wouldn't it, if he doesn't get that golden boot for the season? You got like Mo Fowle getting it, because I mean he really deserves it, doesn't he?
No, yeah, I think they're both you know top players for this level, and I'm glad sort of Ollie, he's probably never had a goal scoring season like this before, and I'm glad that he's getting rewards for his hard work. He's really worked hard, I think, this year and become a sort of leader for the team. So I'm glad he's getting his rewards.
We've both commented, haven't we? And a lot of the fans have noticed how, like, you know, obviously seeing Ollie over the past few seasons, how he really seems to have almost upped it again. But I think you can say that about the whole squad. I think we can say. But Ollie in himself is just, he looks fitter. He looks more, like, focused on the game. Like, you know, whereas before, you know, nothing against it. But he gets so annoyed with himself when he doesn't score that he kind of lets it affect his game. But now he kind of just, it's almost like a team now for him, you know, that he lets the whole team sort of G him up to get that next goal and he doesn't let him affect him.
So, yeah, I think he's really mature, doesn't he? Seen him sort of grow, really, in front of our eyes and mature into, you know, a bit more of a mature player. You know, his work rate, his work effort, I think it really showed Chertsey away. Was it when Ty got sent off in the cup?
Yeah.
And he sort of was leading from the line, I thought. He was organising the whole team around him. And his work rate alongside Callum really sets the tone, I think, height of the pitch.
And yeah, say about him sort of maturing as a player, and the number of goals he scored, you know, he's not at all a selfish player. He's always, you know, playing for the team, looking for the ball if it's on, if it's to Callum or whoever. You know, and that's really impressive to see. You've asked him to play sort of slightly different roles as well, haven't you? Sort of, he's been, some games he's been playing a bit deeper, some games he's been playing sort of further onto the, over the right, and he's just happy and gone with it.
No, he's you know, he's only disappointed when he's not on the pitch, I think he gets a little bit angry then, especially when he feels those goals up for grabs. But I think you know, he's a really intelligent sort of player, him and Miki. I like them sort of playing a little bit deeper at times because they can really move defences around. Yeah. And it's worked well. But yeah, it's a bit of a sacrifice for the team. I think when he was playing lone striker up as a number 9, there's a couple of games where know, the centre half's a bit too physical for him. So yeah. I think now Cal can take that sort of burden away from him and he can focus on, you know, finding space, which he's good at doing.
Yeah, you've got that physical side for Cal. You've seen how he's, everyone's been so impressed. We can't stop raving how good he's been since he's come back, holding it up for Ollie, laying the balls off. And it's been brilliant seeing even turn, smash and grab those goals for us. Obviously, talking about Ollie, must be great news that he signed that contract in the next season with Aaron. I mean, I guess the planning started months ago. I know you said to us in previous podcasts, you've got a plan for obviously different scenarios. You've got a plan for another year in the ISMI, and if that was going to happen, you've got to look at the National South as well. So hopefully the first two of many contract signings in the next few weeks. Are they still under sort of discussion now, or, you know, any coming out soon, or have you already been eyeing up players that are going to come into the club? Because it must be quite a long, arduous process at times.
Yeah, I think the sort of key thing now, after those two getting signed, you know, we've had a conversation with one or two players, but the key thing is to, you know, get the 3 points in the next four games. That's got to be the key thing, and make sure we're playing and we're a National League South club. That's got to be the ultimate goal now, between now and end of the season. And as soon as that is secured and we've done that, then, yeah, the focus will then turn to, you know, sorting out the rest of the squad, the ones that have done really well for us this year. And, you know, it's just going to be a balancing act, you know, because we are going to need more quality whether we stay in this league or not. We want to improve what we've done. So we've got to, you know, setting our sights higher, and there's going to be players that move on, and there's going to be hopefully a good nucleus that do stay with us, because I think they've shown not just their quality on the pitch, but off the pitch as well. Like, you know, in lockdown, they wanted to come in when they wasn't getting paid and do extra training. And I think that professionalism and grab, it sort of shown up in terms of their league position at the moment.
Yeah, the squad's really grown, hasn't it? Over the years, they've all grown together. It's really unusual at this level to see a squad that's stuck together for so long and sort of young players who are just racking up appearances. Like, it's ridiculous, you know. So, you know, we've had Joel Colbran and Jesse Starkey recently got 150 appearances.
Couldn't have had even more than that, but I think it's the only first chance to actually give them the
Crazy. Brilliant. It's great to see. It's something that I sort of, you know, when sort of first come to the club, you know, I wanted to build a young, hungry team that could move up the leagues together. Yes, it's nice to see that some have moved on to bigger and better things, but, you know, there is a good core that have stayed together and worked hard together and, you know, pretty much grown together. And, you know, we still want them to be ambitious and, you know, move up the ladder. But, you know, hopefully we want to do that as well as a club, and hopefully they're seeing that the club's progressive and wants to, you know, move on as well and get bigger and better, and it's something that I like to see. And yeah, it's really, really rewarding to see so many of them get 150 games now under their belt. It's incredible. It's such a young age, like Joel. No, Jesse's still only 26, but he's had, you know, a good career. You know, come to us from Gillingham.
Yeah, Gillingham, wasn't it? Yeah.
In League One, and stayed with us and stayed loyal. And, you know, I think he's getting a real sort of understanding with the rest of the team.
Yeah, I think I've said it a few times that it's going to be really strange, because obviously normally in non-league you have a lot of changes season to season because players come and go, but obviously we've known the core of this side for 3 years, so it must be a strange thing for you to think that naturally there'll be some players that won't be here next season, naturally there'll be some that come with us on the journey, and there'll be some that you know, you sign and become part of the Worthing family. So it's going to be a strange sort of scenario, isn't it, when you're not going to see some of the familiar faces around the place. It must be strange for you or not, is it?
No, yeah, of course it will, yeah, because, yeah, like I say, the nucleus, large parts of that squad have been with us for 3 years now. So that, yeah, is, but sometimes part and parcel of football, any sort of level, really. You know, there's going to be players that move up, players that, you know, just don't feel, we can't stand still at the same time. We can't just keep the same core players and think they're going to, you know, keep on improving. You know, I think, you know, they need challenges. They need people to push them. And, you know, that's what we need to be really important summer in term for recruitment for the club.
So if we wrap it up this weekend, will you see some of the sort of youth players maybe get a chance to play some first team football? Or are you going to stick to the current sort of squad till the end of the season, till the Brighton City game?
Yeah, I think with the games that we've got Saturday, Monday, there might be, it's quite a quick turnaround, so we could utilise the squad a little bit then. I think there'll be another target.
Maybe 100 points.
Possibly. Well, whatever. So,
We're on for 100 points, aren't we?
Yeah. Hopefully,
yeah.
God forbid, it all goes well Saturday, then yeah, we would have another target for the last three games, definitely.
Yeah.
We'll have to look at that. We'll have to see how everybody is. There's, players coming back from injury that want to get minutes. Parso's not far away now.
Will we see Parso before the end of the season?
Yeah, I think so. I think, that bank holiday weekend,
He deserves a little bit. Is that to get him the medal by any chance? He's got the same rules as league football. They have to have at least one or two games or minutes? It's weird, isn't it? You see sometimes when you've seen teams like City and stuff in the past when they've won the league that they play some random players so they're entitled to a medal. I don't know if it's down at this level because you obviously will get a certain amount of levels or you just order one for every player. I don't know what it is like at non-league, but let's not talk about the medals yet. No. We've still got Saturday to do. We're talking we got it in the bag. I mean, it's so close. But Adam, it's been fun. It's been really fun to watch. I mean, as you said, we tripped up at Bishops, but I joke and say we're just giving them a taste of what it's like at the top of the table, really, aren't we? And just take a taste of win. But just what you've done with the squad's just been phenomenal.
It must be really fun. It's been enjoyable to watch, to be honest. Especially some of the football that we played at home. Mm. Even the games that we've lost have been some of our better performances, I think.
Yeah. I just keep looking at Bognor. That Bognor on Bank Holiday weekend. Jeez. I know you go on about it. And I think it was obviously depressing for so many reasons, but we just didn't deserve to lose that game. And it's I think that's when we have lost this season. I'm sure, Spencer, you can agree, but not being big-headed, but we haven't deserved it. I think the only game I think we played poor that I think is Carl Shorten when we lost. I just think that they deserve to win that game. But we haven't had many losses this season, but I think the ones we have, no way we should have lost those games.
I think the ones away from home, Carl Shorten, Folkestone, first game, we was poor. Margate Bishops, as well, Margate. Yeah, those games, we didn't really get going, did we?
Ball late midweek.
It's a nightmare. We were just been poor on those encounters. But the two at home, I think we've actually, Chesham, we'll probably give it to them a little bit, but still created endless amount of chances. And even the Dorking one at home, still feel we probably created more chances than them, to be honest. And maybe if we had Cal for that game, could have been a different story.
Celebrating against
us. But that's the level, isn't it? Level up, better quality up top. Don't need so many chances, and they've got players at that level that can score guard or nothing. Yeah. And I think that was evident on that day.
But you learn from the defeats, don't you?
Yeah, it's right, 100%. Yeah, still. Livid from all of them that we've had this year.
He can't let it go.
Away was atrocious. I remember casuals away, it was on, didn't start brilliantly.
As I say, that bloody place, I hate that place so much. And they're really nice club.
In the FA Cup, early on, and we should have got it done at home, got a replay, went to their place. And again, it was a lackluster performance. Yeah. And I remember going over to the fans and apologising saying that, we are going to turn things around and get it right.
They're a bogey club for us, aren't they?
Corinthians. I think there's Bells will be a tough one on Saturday. No team's going to roll over and you the 3 points at this league. It's going to be tough, tough game, and one that we've got to look forward to.
We had to scalp everyone once, aren't we? We had a target.
Yeah, that's right, 100%. We've got Cole Shorten to beat at home. And then no one's done the double over us. That's when I've been the target.
Well, as Pete quite rightly said, Mr. Statter, he did say on the pod when we were recording, he said, we've aggregate, apart from Bishops, we've beaten every team on aggregate this season. So I think the challenge is up there to only lose to one team on aggregate. Let Bishops have that. But Adam, I think, I can say on behalf of all the fans, we can't wait for Saturday. If it doesn't come Saturday, it'll come the next week. But you've got two full coaches and a minibus going up a fan, plus people on cars and trains. So I think you could have more away fans and home fans. Yeah. And whatever happens, we're proud to call them our club, and just well done. And hopefully, next episode, we can have a very special episode.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully that's the case. Yeah, I think it'll be no different to Where do we go? Manifield or something. If they cut them absolutely took over their ground, I think that'd be the same.
I think it's going to be very similar. Yeah.
It'd just be like a home game.
Yeah, and you know, what I think that's they're the games that, as a manager and fans and coaches, and that you realise you are part of a massive club here. And we do all we can to sort of put on a performance.
Well, it's been a long time bloody coming, hasn't it, Spence? You know, like you know, we sat here for sort of two seasons doing this. We're about to complete our first season at Rebel Yell. Like, it's amazing because we started it obviously in the first pandemic season, and then like you know, it's crazy. But to watch the journey, it's been amazing. Fingers crossed for Saturday. I think I'm sure I have a very big smile, and I think it'll be the most exciting interview Pete's ever done with you, and he'll look forward to it most. Hopefully. So, you'll probably have to get me to like prop him up or something because he's already said he'll be crying. So, and I'm driving on Saturday, so I'll be sober till I come back here and celebrate. Yeah. But we look forward to it, Adam. We'll see you on Saturday, and good luck and
pass it on to them. Thanks for your time, as
always. Nah, pleasure. Thank you.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Always great to speak to Adam Hinchwood, so thank you for joining us once again on the Rebel Yell podcast, chaps. We also spoke to Amy Critchfield, one of the women's players who was nominated by Bexbel last month for the season finale for the women's team. We sat down with Amy to speak about her season at Worthing and, you know, the future and a little bit about her past. And obviously, we've got to get Gina's not here tonight. We've got to get a biscuit question in, haven't we? Because it wouldn't be a season complete without a biscuit question. So, Amy, welcome to the Rebel Yell podcast. A very good first season in higher league and with a new squad. How have you found it?
Yeah, no, it's been great. As someone who's kind of played in the same team since the beginning, it was kind of nice for me to come to a new group of girls, and everyone was so lovely from the off, but it was good to have a new challenge. And I think especially as, you know, the new team in the league, everyone had their sort of opinions on us already, and I kind of think that we've sort of proved them all wrong with kind of how well we've done playing against the other teams.
Yeah, no, we've obviously we've spoken to, I think it was Chloe that did the first episode of the season, like sort of pre-season, and her and John and speaking to other players, you know, Bex, everything like that, they saying they all hoped to get sort of mid-table, and you girls have smashed it. You've gone to fourth in a league, a brand new league. It must be a proud moment for you because you were at Lewis before, am I right in saying?
Yeah, so myself and a few others moved over from Lewis to Worthing season. And I think the standard was a lot higher than I expected, because these were playing against teams who had been like established in this league for a long time now, with players who had all played together for a long time. And we were sort of not only a new team in a new league, but a new team in general. Like there was girls from like some from Worthing, some from Lewis, some from other clubs. And it was kind of like putting us all together in this new team, in this new environment. And I think it would have gone one or two ways, but with the management, with the friendliness of the girls, everything sort of just came together and meant that, you know, we could smash the season, really.
Yeah, because I know, obviously, as the girls have said, it could be a bit nervy because obviously you've got some of the old Worthing players that have been there for a while. And obviously you've got John's brought his players that he's known from Lewis and, you know, from other clubs. So to see you all bond, and I mean, unfortunately, I haven't been able to go to as many games as I'd like this season, but Gina, who normally does the interviews for the women's team on here, she said, like, you know, they've just seen the squad build and build, and there looks like there's a real sort of camaraderie now within the squad.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I knew a few of the girls when I came over, so it was nice to have that sort of those friendly faces anyway. But yeah, it's been really great. Like there's never been that divide. Everyone's got on really well. And I think you can see that in the way we play. Like as it got towards the end of the season, it was sort of that thing where someone got knocked off the ball, someone got pushed over, and everyone then seemed to have their back. So there was sort of that like group morale, which I think in the end is what helped us perform as well as we did.
Yeah, no, we can see it from like your social medias and everything like that with the girls, the women's team, that there is that real sort of funness to it. It's not just a sort of transaction. You're not just coming, kicking a ball for 90 minutes and going home. There seems to be a lot of, which is like, I think why the men's team have become so successful because they've got to know each other, why the youth team have become successful. So if we can have another women's team and they become that successful, it's just great for the club.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it shows in our performance 100% that we all got, because you kind of get to learn how everyone plays as well. Like the quick players, you know, you play the long balls to them and just sort of everyone's style of their game, which I think in the end does make it easier to get results as a team.
No, fantastic. So we've talked about what's happened this season. Obviously, you've come to Worthing this season. Just tell us about your past and like how you came into football. Like, was it from your young age that you loved football and you wanted to get into it? Or was it, did you kind of stumble into it? Just tell us your story.
So I have a twin sister. My dad, so he's got two daughters. And I think his love of the game is what got us into it at the beginning. I started when I was about seven, I think, at just a local club. But obviously, for girls, it's harder to find teams to play for. So I think it was at Pevensey and West Ham. I was playing with the boys at the start. And I think, you know, boys always have that opinion of the girls, like they're not going to pass to us and stuff. So I think for a while that put me off until I actually found a girls team. And then from there, I was at Eastbourne Girls for like five seasons, maybe even more, with the same group of girls and the same team. And then at under 16s, we were approached by Lewis, and then Lewis brought our whole team over. So we changed from Eastbourne Girls to the Lewis under 16s.
Okay.
And that was nice because obviously it was a new environment, but we got to keep all the same players. And then from Lewis under 16s, I went to the 18s and then the FS, and stayed there really until I came over to Worthing. So Worthing was the first real move for me in football where I'd had to like make that decision myself, because I think right from the off, I'd been with the same group of girls and we'd sort of all fallen in the same place, like in the way that we all went over to Lewis and all stayed there and played together. It was the first real chance for me to sort of make that decision myself, and it's actually the first season that I hadn't played with my sister. So she we all sort of split off from that Lewis team. Some stayed at Lewis, some of us went to Worthing, and then some went to Hastings. So I think it was an opportunity. It was sad for us all to leave each other as a team, but I think it was an opportunity to sort of put ourselves out there more and, you know, meet some more new people and push ourselves a bit more in terms of what leagues we went into.
You think it was sort of just sort of stepping out your comfort zone? It was a bit nervy because obviously you feel comfortable challenging yourself to maybe play at a higher level, or, you know, push yourself for a higher.
Yeah. And I think as people who had not never had to do that, because obviously there was always challenges in the league, but we'd always had that same group around us. So there was comfort of each other. So I think definitely moving teams sort of gave us all a new challenge. I mean, still a few of the girls moved to Worthing with me, so I wasn't completely alone, but it was just to try something different.
Yeah, fantastic. So are you still based over Eastbourne Lewis way, or are you sort of in the Worthing area?
No, so there's a group of us who live down in Eastbourne. So it's a bit of a trek to Worthing, but no, it's worth it.
Bit of car sharing, I think, and everything like that, I assume. Yeah, that's good. So you talked about your past. What about your future? You're quite happy at Worthing. Will we see you next season there?
So I'm actually off to uni in September.
Okay.
So I'm going to Loughborough.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of playing for Worthing, I think it's going to be a bit of a commute for me from Loughborough every Sunday to come down and play for Worthing. But I have intentions of doing pre-season with the club and sort of staying involved as much as possible while I'm away, because obviously I've enjoyed this season so much, it would be a shame to just sort of leave that all behind when I go off to uni. So when I'm back and things like that, I'll definitely be down watching the girls, getting involved as much as I can.
How about your sister? Will she be replacing Critchfield in Worthing colours, or is she going to uni as well?
Uni as well. So we're both leaving. But I think we're actually going to the same uni. We're both off to Loughborough. So we might be playing together again. We don't know yet. But yeah, I'll definitely stay in touch with all the girls and come down and support when I get the opportunity to.
Yeah. And is football like what you want to get into? Would you like to try and get up to professional level, or are you just enjoying it as a sort of hobby at the moment?
I think for me, it's just always going to be that sport that I play in my life. Like, I could never imagine myself not playing football. But I think in terms of like the commitment that's needed for obviously playing at that top level, I think there's other things as well that I'd like to focus on, like going to uni, focusing on like my course and stuff like that, and other opportunities as well as football. But I definitely always see myself playing, and I think university will be a good opportunity for me to sort of put maybe a bit more time and effort into it, because it's the environment that I'll be in. Like, Loughborough's got some great women's teams. It will be a good chance for me to like maybe push myself more than I have before, because I'll have the time and the facilities around me to do so.
Yeah, well, we just saw Loughborough, like obviously it's known as a sports sort of university. We just saw their football team, their men's team, were just down the coast, along the coast against Littlehampton in the Cup semi-final, the VARS, FA VARS semi-final recently. So we know they've got good sporting teams there. Is it a sports sort of degree you're doing, or is it what subject you're doing at university?
I'm doing sports science and English. So it's like a mixture of the two, because obviously Loughborough has that reputation for being a sporting uni. But I enjoyed English as well. And so I think when I saw this course, it really appealed to me because it was like two of the things that I enjoyed the most. So yeah, I'm excited.
That's an exciting new start for you. And it'll be interesting to sort of catch up one time, see where you're next playing or what you're doing football wise. I'm sure we'll see you down at Woodside occasionally.
Definitely.
So the question that I said to you before, obviously I was going to sprout on you, and it's Gina's favourite question. It is, what is your favourite biscuit?
My favourite biscuit? Wow. I'm actually a really big biscuit lover, so this is a hard question for me.
So is it every Christmas you get one of the big different mixed packs of biscuits?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Victoria, 100%. I think it's called.
I think it's going to have to be probably a chocolate digestive. I don't know whether that's important or not, but like it's got to be something chocolatey for me, 100%.
It's a strong choice, especially if you want to dip it in a coffee or a tea or something like that. More coffee for me. I don't drink tea. A
couple of chocolate biscuits with a cup of tea. That's ideal for me.
Fantastic. And before we go, just a couple more things. What's your highlight of the season? Okay, you've had a great season with Werthen. The girls have just done so much better than everyone expected. Like, what is the one moment you'll take with you to Loughborough and you know, that one memory?
I think two games stand out for me really. I think the game at Dulwich where we sort of dropped off a bit and let them catch our lead, and then I think the final score was 3-2, but we were, I don't know whether we were 3-0 up or 3-1 up, and then they sort of had a spell of attacking and then scored a few, and I think we had to hold that 3-2 lead for quite some time in the second half. And I think that was the first time for me really where as a team we all worked for each other. I think we were disciplined and we understood, you know, what we needed to do to see out the game and get the 3 points. And it was nice to see the ref there wasn't fantastic. And it was kind of nice to see everyone sort of getting angry in a good way for each other and sort of having each other's back. I think that was the first time to me that we all seemed like a proper team. And then obviously the game at Ashford in the Cup where we overturned them 2-1 after losing 8-0 at the start of the season. I think that's always going to be a special moment for everyone.
Yeah, a little bit of revenge for you.
Yeah.
No, it's been a great season. What is your football team that you support, obviously apart from Worthing, because we know you're obviously a Red Bull.
Exactly. West Ham. I'm a Hammers fan.
Oh, it's a shame Spencer's not on because he's a Hammers fan as well, so he'd be doing the irons this year and everything like that. Good season for West Ham for once. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, you'll be closer to them, won't you, when you're up in Loughborough as well? Exactly. Go and see them.
Might be able to go and watch a few games.
Amy, it's been really good having you on the podcast. Thank you for taking your time. Thank you for representing the Worthing in the massive red and white of the shirt. And hopefully one day we see you down there. But if I don't see you before the end of the season, good luck with the move to Loughborough. And hopefully we cross paths in the future.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Amy, great to speak. Thank you for joining us. And we haven't taken a nomination because it's the end of season. We don't know who's going to be here next year. So we'll get John to nominate the first one when we join him in the pre-season friendly. Chaps, it's about time to wrap up the podcast. Jet lag setting in and I don't know what I'm talking about. So I think it's best we take this thing off the air very shortly. But guys, obviously, I can't wait to get together with you guys at the weekend. Pete, I know you've missed me next to you on the commentary booth. And I know he's shaking his head now. No, there you go. Right, I knew his face was going to be ratchet. He hasn't missed me at all. But we're going to be there and hopefully for a historic moment, Pete. I mean, I know what you mean. I think it will be quite hard to like, it will be an emotional moment. Have you got enough space on your laptop to get Queen's We Are The Champions playing? Because if we don't have that on there, I'm going to have to live stream it from my phone because we cannot do a broadcast. Because Pete, for those that don't know, you might have noticed, what's that, Spence?
Or you could do a karaoke version.
Yeah, but Pete says no singing on there and you don't want to hear me singing anyway. But if for those that have maybe noticed, Pete, when he does away games, because obviously he had a little issue with his laptop battery earlier in the season, and it doesn't hold a charge anymore. So the grounds that we go that had the laptop, the battery with the music on, it's got no way, and it doesn't accept without a power lead. So Pete bought an lovely little laptop from a shop in Worthing. It ended up being the most awful laptop he could ever have done. He did no research. We went out for a beer at lunch. He goes, oh, I've just bought a new laptop for Rebel Yell. Gets it down for the first game of the season. Oh, it's got no memory on it to put any music on. So literally, it's a laptop with Mixlr on, and that's it. So that's why at halftime we leave the microphone live. So if you ever hear any bad language.
But it does the job for the commentary. That's all that
also
matters.
Pete, could this be an opportunity here? Obviously, 22-23 season is going to be upon us, hopefully in the National South. Could we have a sponsor of an IT firm maybe that could donate a laptop?
You never know.
You never know. So any of you listening, Pete gets hundreds of listeners. Come on, little nice laptop. Be nice for Peter to go home and away. He can bring DJ Pete to the decks on halftime, mix up a bit while he's using his beer. It'd be very nice. Guys, we've got to do it this Saturday, surely. It's going to be this Saturday, right?
Yeah, it's going to be this Saturday.
I can't see us. I mean, I don't want to jinx it, but come on.
It's a de facto home game, isn't it? Because, yeah, you know, there's going to be... Who wants to put a figure on it of how many words?
There's three coaches, so that's what, 50 in each coach? That's 150 already.
You know, I think you're looking at least...
Plus a minibus, isn't it?
300. Yeah, I think you're looking at least...
I'm driving.
Yeah, it's two coaches plus a minibus.
Oh, that's it. The players are going in their own minibus, aren't they? I'm surprised we didn't do Stockport and fly up to Bowers. You know, could have got Brighton Airport to Stansted. You know, a little quick hop over.
Fly to Southend Airport.
Yeah, very true, yeah.
It's only an hour and a half, isn't it, to the Bowers and Pitt Six?
No, mate, we've got a thing called the M25, mate. Have you heard the M25?
You've got to go over the bridge, haven't you?
Yeah, got to go over the bridge. But it's not going to be as bad a journey as...
I think just before we sort of wrap up, what will it mean to you, obviously? Like, we've got no qualms in thinking. We sort of... Johnny come lately to the love of Worthing and non-league, and we've got a lot of people that have been following the club for years, which it must mean a lot more for. But I think after managing to do all this stuff and, you know, getting through COVID and, you know, we launched all this stuff like Rebel Yell, which kind of went a bit peaked on because of COVID and, you know, null and voided seasons. You know, we've made new friendships. We've been drawn together by the love of non-league football and Worthing. So it's so special to me, like, to think I could actually see the club that, you know, my local town club get promoted into the highest they've ever done. And we've been, you know, a part of the fan base, witness of it.
It's just going to be absolutely incredible. I remember a few seasons ago, and I think I've said this to a few people, that we had a chance of the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. We lost every game or something, didn't we?
We got 2 points at the last 15. Mm. So that was a bit painful. And, you know, it was the 1-1 away at Corinthians. Yeah, that bloody place, King George's Field. I hate that place. I never want to see it again in my life.
You sound like you're repeating exactly what I said, mate.
Absolutely agree.
Yeah, it's just, it's abysmal. So that'll be a bonus. But yeah, and then to carry on into the next season, and obviously, you know, Adam's thing is always every season we just want to see improvement. And, you know, the ninth position finish that season was an improvement on previous seasons. Mm. So, you know, you look at it that way. And then the next season, obviously, the null and void. Next season, the curtailments, and then obviously this season. So you look at it and you're just like, it's, you know, after the pain, I know what Stuart said about basically the club is in a better position now with the infrastructure around the club and the board, etc., which I totally agree with. But I think a lot of emotion is going to come out after the last sort of three seasons that we've had, you know, with fans. I know for one that I'll probably break down. I'll probably get emotional.
And Spencer, what about yourself?
And I won't be ashamed.
No, you shouldn't be. I cried at Charlton when we won the playoff final, mate, to be fair. Spencer, what about yourself?
Especially if there's a little bit of alcohol involved.
Yeah. Well, I've got a drive, so it won't be till we get back to the club and hopefully celebrate on Saturday that I'll be completely sober. So watching all you guys laughing.
But no, it's the real past, present and future, isn't it? It's what we've been through these past three seasons to get to where we are and what we've had to get through. You know, it's the present of, right, this is amazing, it's where we are, it's the moment, like Stu mentioned, you know, it's enjoying the moment And then, yeah, the future, you know, the plans the club have got in place on and off the pitch are just really exciting. You know, the squad building, the youth setup, the Stu's involved with, you know, Barry and the board and plans for the ground and, you know, possibly extending the ground, a new bar at the front.
It's going to be an exciting post-season, isn't it? And pre-season, it's going to be very exciting to see the changes around the place.
Yeah. And it's not all going to be immediate either, you know. I think the plans are for the next 2-3 years, you know, to gradually build and expand. So yeah, exciting times, good times to be a Rebel.
No, it is.
And a good thing is when you think about it, if the women's team are going back to training on 3rd of July, and you know the men's team will be going back around the same time, so you've only got May and June. Really, and then you're back into sort of pre-season friendlies, etc. So
that means we'll have to our local. We'll be meeting at Wizard. It'll be bloody down on the beach on Worthing when the weather's like nicer and like 10 degrees, but the sun's out with a couple of cans of M&S again, won't it?
Oh yeah,
like, remind us of COVID 3
p.m.
time.
3 p.m. Saturday.
But Spencer, Worthing, will you come down looking like Colonel Sanders again with your beard?
I kind of miss Colonel Sanders.
I thought he was Moses. I thought he was come down.
Yeah, very true. But it was still having the quiff, and he had a big quiff because he hadn't cut his hair for so long, and he was still managing to style it. No, chaps, but you know, it's been, you know, it's not the last episode of the season, but it's been a pleasure riding this wave with you guys, and you know, we've had a lot of fun, we've had a lot of highs, we've had some lows, you know, some really frustrating parts, and you know, me, Mr. Emotional at the beginning of the season, getting frustrated, and I can actually physically eat my hat now because I think we're literally going to be there, and it's been a hell of a ride.
I think that was the strangest thing for me all season is obviously we didn't start really fast. We lost a couple of games and all of a sudden there's this downer around the place and it was like, hold on, we're going to play. The league's not won in August.
Yeah, it's such a long season. I kept saying all the way for earlier in the season, you know, sort of, you know, it's a long season. You know, we've got the squad. You know, I think that was a big factor this season.
Yeah.
Our squad, you know, any player, any position can be out, injured, out of form, suspended. Somebody can come in and fill, and there's no difference in that first 11.
And I don't know if you guys think, but it really feels like a proper football family. It really does. Like, you know, you can go down, you know, we obviously meet up on a match day to our things, but, you know, you can talk to anyone in the bar, you know, this thing, and like, you know, the camaraderie of the players and everything like that. It's great. And I think the players are getting their just desserts. They're going to get that medal around their neck. And it will be at Bowers this Saturday. Got our necks on the line. If you are listening to this on Friday evening before making the decision, come down to Bowers. Only an hour and a half. Come and support the boys. Be part of history. Because let's hope we don't do a Hastings and get a record bumper crowd and we don't even get it. But, you know, let's come and try and cheer the boys on. Be loud, be proud. Because there's one thing, guys, just we should end on. There's a poem I heard one time. It went along the lines of, don't you know, pump it up. The Reds are going up. She heard that one.
That was Kipling, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Not Rudyard. No.
Mr. Kipling. Yeah, the little cake bar. But guys, another pleasure to do the episode with you again. I can't wait to see you guys on Saturday. Tune in. And just remember before we go, if you want to go to the last two home games of the season, it is all ticket, the club have announced. So don't turn up on the match day because you won't be allowed in. So please make sure you buy in advance. If you want to see us lift the trophy, hopefully against Brightling Sea, make sure you get your ticket in advance.
Lifting the trophy, that should be a fantastic.
Yeah. Do you think they'll let us go on the pitch? So I have like live interviews. No, me and you.
Oh, for live interviews. Possibly.
I think Pete might be in full kit trying to get in the
photo. He'll be like John Terry. He'll be the John Terry just standing there if he's like in the background, or Ashley Cole at the side. Anyway, chaps, we'll see you Saturday. Long journey up. Let's hope it's not a long journey home. We look forward to it. Rebels, stay safe, and hopefully we can be celebrating come Saturday evening. There we go, chaps. See you next month for hopefully what we can call a celebration episode. Good night, everyone.
Champions episode.
That's it. Champions.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.